First book of Samuel, chapter 23. We're going to read the first five verses. Chapter 23 of 1 Samuel. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floor." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines, and save Keilah." And David's men said unto him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him, saying, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle, smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. The Lord will add his blessing because it's his precious and holy word. I was thinking a while ago, just trying to think of how many times in any given day I say, "I won't do that," or "I will do this." And I was amazed as I sat there and thought of any given day when I just exert my own will upon my life and exert the control of me upon the circumstances and things that are around me, without ever stopping to say, "Lord, what would you do?" You say, that's natural. That's natural with a natural man, yes. But you see, I'm supposed to be a Christian. I'm supposed to be directed now by spiritual direction. I'm supposed to get my direction not from me or not from the world, but from the Lord. And we saw last week how that God delivered David. What was he delivering from? The body of flesh. We dealt with that last week, how that they shot the arrows beyond where David could expect any help, or and God has given him a new direction. And this week, what we're looking at is how God is going to direct David. Direct. Again, last week we said it was a very painful thing. And this week it's painful again. You see, every step towards spirituality and every step where I relinquish some authority on my life, on myself, and turn over my life to be run by the Lord, it's not easy. And this is why there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of Christians who are just groping out there, just trying to get a handle on things. It's because they've been saved, and they're satisfied with where they are. Because they can sing, "I'm on my way to heaven. My sins are all forgiven. I'm going to walk those pearly, those streets of gold." And very often, we're stuck right there. I don't believe that that's what we see in the life of David. In fact, what we've been seeing is how that God brings him from an obedient young man who tends his father's sheep, who lives for the sheep, who cares for the sheep, and God brings him along. And there's development in his life, And that development leads to the direction that he needs, and it must come from God. And there are some principles here that smack me right in my face. I wouldn't dare stand here and say to you that all of these things, I'm a human being. All of us are human beings. We face the same as they said of John the Baptist. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. Whoever stands here, whether it's me or whoever it is, and it doesn't matter who stands here, we're all in the flesh and we're all men. And if we're honest, we have to admit that none of these things come easy. None of these things come easy. You've heard me say that I've seen Arthur Eldon cry, tears come down his face so many times when years ago when Burleen and Judy first came to Current, favorite song they used to sing, it's not an easy road. We're traveling to glory. That's all you've got to realize. It's not an easy road because we're traveling to glory. Every obstacle that can be put in our way, the devil will put in our way. But then when God gives direction, God will help us, but it's not easy because I have to decide. It is my will. My will is not easily bent or broken or changed. It's not easy. And God uses the Word of God. God uses His blessed Spirit who has taken up residence in me. Who, if I am abiding in Him and if I'm reading His Word and listening to hear His voice, I can hear Him say certain times, look, this is the direction. This is the way that I want you to go. But there's so much of my life that I feel that I don't need to ask God about. Isn't that right? And there is so much of my life that I know that God ought to tell me how I should live it, what I should do, what I should say, and I'm afraid of what God is going to say to me because I want to do it my way. That's the way it is. We want to do it our way. And my way is not God's way. God is trying to tell us, it's not my way. Your way is not my way. And David had to learn that. David had to learn that because David was sent in now to represent God and to represent Israel. David is going to be the deliverer. Notice this in the end of verse 5. So David saved. Beloved, we've been sent into the world to save too. It can be said, so you saved. It can be said, so this can be, we don't give anybody everlasting life, but God has given to us the message of reconciliation. God's given it to every one of us, the message. God's given it to the church. God's given it to this local church, the message of reconciliation. And we plead with men to be reconciled to God. And so David was put in this position of being a savior. But in order to be a savior of the people, David needed to know the direction of God. In order for us to be that person, that church, that group of people that God uses to cause people to see their downward trend and their away from God and their the savior that God has provided, then we must take direction from God. You can't just say, I'm going to do it. I ain't going to do it. I'll do this if it kills me. That's not God's way. That will not get God's blessing. And I'm afraid that somehow there seems to be, as I listen very carefully sometimes to our conversation on the outside, I wonder if we're not adopting a new philosophy that's not biblical. And it worries me sometimes that some of the conversation I hear. Because, you see, one of the things that we've been known as among the assemblies is that we've been men and women of the Word. And if we get away from this Word, we're in trouble. When a man is prepared to walk, and that's not easy. When a man is prepared, because being prepared to walk the path of the will of God means my will asked to be involved. Prepared. Prepared means that I make a decision. Prepared means that God's word comes to play in that decision. When I'm prepared to walk that path of the will of God, so that I depend upon God alone, I depend upon God for His guiding. And all of us know as we get up every morning that one of the things if we don't say it audibly, that sometime during the day we must think about God guiding me. God, today I need your guiding. We may forget that 20 minutes from then, but somewhere along the way, we must remember that we need His guiding and directing. We need the hand of God. We need to know that the hand of God is guiding our lives and directing our lives. Because if this Christian life is going to mean anything, not to me, we've got to get away from this idea of what all of this is going to mean to me. I think I've said it many times, more than once. I've said that, again, you've heard me say that the catechism says this, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so first is to glorify God. Why am I here? First, to glorify God. To glorify God. And I can only do that if I am walking in the way of God, if I'm walking according to the will of God. And I've struggled with this all my life. I am still struggling, not as much as I used to, but I still struggle with this, knowing what the will of God is and making sure that my will is submitted to His will. That is not easy. That is something that I still struggle with. But I know it is the right thing. I know it is the right way. I know that will bring glory to Him. And so I need to know a guided way. And I need in my life that guarded way. So that the way I walk in, I know that I am protected. I know that I'm guarded and I'm guided. Now, there are general issues, just like in the life of David, where we just trust God to direct us and we just go on. Somebody said it's like using sanctified common sense. But David didn't make sanctified common sense the sole basis of his guidance. Sanctified common sense, you'll hear people say, that's all you need, maybe to succeed in this life. But beloved, as a spiritual person, that is not all that I need. Because I find that there are weightier problems that come. Sometimes that involve issues like those here in this chapter. And so, When there are doubts as to what to do, what to say, when there's uncertainty, then like David, we do what David did. And there are certain guiding principles here in these verses. David inquired of the Lord, it says. David inquired of the Lord, because David knew that the direction that he had, the natural direction, which came from his natural feelings and natural desires and natural instincts, could lead him a million miles the other way from where God wanted him. And he could end up in the deserts of Arabia when God wanted him in America. David knew that. And so there are principles that God uses here in David's life. And I believe there's a witness. I believe there are three of them. Number one, I believe there's the witness of the circumstantial signs. Circumstances does play a part. We'll see that. There are circumstances. Most of the time when we have to make a decision, you look at the circumstances. Circumstances surround us. And number two, there's the controlling spirit. So I can't say, well, I'll just look at the circumstances. They'll control and that'll be my cue to do and go and say and act as I want. I'll know that that's God's mind. I'll just look at the circumstances. No, there's the Holy Spirit who controls me. Now, is the Holy Spirit going to tell me to do anything or act that's not according to the Word of God? No. There's no person in Spanish Wells. It was a saved person who would not agree with that the Spirit of God If he's in control of my life, he will lead me to say the right thing, to do the right thing, to always act according to that which will bring glory to my Savior. That is the controlling spirit. And so I need to be sure that the Spirit of God is controlling my life. And number three, the confirming scriptures. This is why Israel, when Nehemiah comes along, Nehemiah finds the walls are broken down. Somebody had come along and said at one point, look, let's build them up. And they started to build and they were discouraged and they ran and hid in caves. But now word comes to Nehemiah and Nehemiah comes along. Nehemiah is an amazing man who is controlled by God, controlled by God's Spirit. And he's living according to God's word. And Nehemiah gets them to pull together, build the walls up. But he realized that something was missing. They could build up those walls. But to keep that work going, in order to keep the walls in the state that they were in, to protect the gates, Nehemiah knew that it took spiritual men. And as he searched among them, there were few and far between. You know why? They had forgotten the Word of God. They had forgotten the Word of God. They had let circumstances control their decisions. And every time somebody threatened them, they'd go to fight. And they didn't say, God, should I do this or should I do that? They just went ahead and just slaughtered everybody that they could. And one day God said, hey, you're a disobedient people. And God brought the Babylonians in and they took them all away. And they were out there in foreign and strange lands. And gradually they began to get loose and come back. But you know, as they came back, they brought with them the signs of their carnality. Because out there they had forgotten that God said, I don't let your children marry to these heathens. And they out there they compromised, and now they come back, and one of the biggest problems that Nehemiah had was the problem that all of us face because Tobiah and Geshem and those guys represent what we represent, what is represented by the flesh in our lives. And it affects us and creates conflict all the time. But all the time they were out there, they just let it go. And then Nehemiah called them. You've heard me say this already. Nehemiah called a great convocation. Nehemiah said, what is lacking in this city and to the success of this work, if this work is going to go on, if God is going to be glorified, we must respect the Word of God. You must hear the Word of God. You must be affected by the Word of God. You must make your decisions intelligently according to the Word of God. And Nehemiah got Ezra the scribe to get on a pulpit of wood. And he read the Word of God. And the first thing happened to those people, when they heard the Word of God, they wept. They wept. You know why they wept, beloved? Because they realized that they had sinned against Almighty God. They had forgotten Him. You know how they had forgotten Him? They had forgotten the Word of God. They'd forgotten the Word of God. And so you can't say, well, there's circumstances and this warrants my taking action. No. What about the Spirit of God? And what about the Scriptures? You've got to come back to the Scriptures. We cannot. My point is this, that in all of our lives, the direction that we need comes from the Word of God. Because that's how God speaks to us. Isn't that in our songs, if they're spiritual songs, that's what they will say. That God speaks to us, it says in Hebrews, not as He did in before. He spoke in dreams and visions and all the things that He spoke to the people. But in these days, it says this. He speaks to us through His Son. How do I hear the voice of the Son? Through the Scriptures. Because He is the living Word, and this is the written Word that I have here. And if I don't pay heed to the Word of God, how am I going to amend my ways? How does a young man know how to walk right and do what's right? By taking heed, the Scripture says, to the Word of God. By taking heed to the Word of God. And so we have the witness of the circumstantial signs. Then they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they're robbing the threshing floor. And I can see some of us saying, get your guns, let's go. Pull up my sleeves, I'm ready to fight. And David's men said, look, we're afraid. And in one instance, you've got the word that comes to David that can cause David, if he acts in the flesh, to just go and slaughter the Philistines or get slaughtered himself. You must understand that when you go, if you're looking for defeat, just act according to the flesh. Act according to the flesh and you will be defeated. If I act according to the flesh, I'll be defeated. You don't tell me if David had just listened to what he heard and just took off, that David wouldn't have been defeated. I'll tell you this. He couldn't have reckoned God being on his side. Sometimes, you know, you might hear in conversation with people, sometimes people, how they talk, it's like, I can do anything and God will still be standing right there fighting with me, holding my hand up and saying, charge, go on. No, that don't happen. I don't believe that for one moment. I don't believe that for one moment. The other thing is this, that when God tells you to do something and you've got to confirm that this is the thing that God wants me to do, God wants me to witness, God wants me to help missionaries down in Haiti. They're building some buildings down there. They're getting assemblies going down there. God wants me to go to Nicaragua. God wants me to do this. God wants, you know, and you hear God's voice. There'll be some people who'll be discouraged around you. David's men said to him, look, we're afraid. Not everybody is going to know the mind of God. Everybody ought to seek the mind of God, ought to know the mind of God. But there were those who were afraid. And so, David, according to the circumstances, David had to adopt a line of action. How was he going to interpret the signs? Number one, there were two things. What was seen and what was said. You can remember that easily. Seen, said. Number one, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah. This is what's seen. They're robbing the threshing floors. They've seen it. David, we need to know what are we going to do? What action are we going to take? Now, I'll tell you this. The Bible says that we need to keep our eyes open, right? We need to know. We need to be wise. We need to keep our eyes open. Our spiritual eyes must be kept open as the people of God. They saw. And so it was what was seen was very, very important. We can't be blind to the circumstances around us. We must take circumstances into consideration. But secondly is what was said. And David's men said to him, they spoke. He heard them. They were not trying to encourage him. They said, look, David, we're afraid. Death is facing us. But not only are we afraid to go down to Keilah, but we're afraid right here where we are in Judah. And now you're hearing something that we ought to go down and fight the armies of the Philistines. David, do you understand that they're stronger than these few people that are around you, because we're fugitives. We're fugitives, David. We're just a small band. Just a few men. And so if David is wise, what David does is he realizes he has a few men, and they are frightened to death where they are. On the other hand, there are his brethren, and somebody needs to stop the Philistines. And so what does he do? Does he say, let's charge and go ahead and find that in the end, everybody gets slaughtered? David doesn't do that. But we'll see what David does. Abraham Lincoln was a man who placed great faith in providential guidance. Things that he saw during the Civil War were to him divine mandate which ultimately led to his issuing the Emancipation Proclamation. And here's what he said. On one occasion, he said this. If it were not for my belief in an overruling providence, it would be difficult for me in the midst of such complications to keep my reason on this seat. But I am confident that the Almighty has his plans and will work them out. And whether we see it or not, they will be the wisest and the best for us. I have always taken counsel of him, and referred to him and referred to him my plans, and have never adopted a course of proceeding without being assured as far as I could be of his approval. Being assured, I like that, as far as I could be. I should be the most presumptuous blockhead if I for one day thought that I could discharge the duties which have come upon me since I came into this office of president without the aid and enlightenment of the one who is wiser and stronger than all others. Would to God all presidents and all these worldly leaders would take that counsel and that advice. But we come secondly to the witness of the controlling spirit. And I guess of all the messages you'll hear less messages on the Holy Spirit. I don't know why, but, and if you go to our hymn book, you'll see very, very, very few. They're very scarce. Some of our writers, whether they were afraid of the charismatic, trend during those days when the hymns were written, I don't know. If there's one little deficiency, and I love the Redemption Songbook, it is that. Many of us have noticed that there's not a whole lot of hymns on the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is as much God as the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't delegate him to the third person or one to the second person. They're all equal. They're equal. And while the Holy Spirit of God didn't hang on the cross, yet in another sense, he was God and God was there. The work of reconciliation was given to the Son. And now the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans, as comfortless, but I'm going to send you a comforter. He's equal with me. Equal with me is the Holy Spirit. And I don't know why I sometimes don't pay as much attention to his work in my own life as I ought to, but I must confess that that happens. And I must confess to him that that's wrong. He must not be slighted. Because he is here. We sing God is here and that to bless us. And how is God here? In the person of the Holy Spirit. We invoke his blessing upon our gathering together. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Whether that be for discipline or whether it be whenever the saints of God are gathered together, we expect his presence. When we gather in a few moments to worship the Lord, it'll be the Spirit of God who will direct our worship. Unless the Spirit of God is here and controls that service, then God will not be glorified. We expect the Spirit of God to be here. But then when I walk through those doors sometimes and go outside, I somehow lose that sense of the importance of knowing his direction. Even as I drive down that road, even in my thought life, the people that I see, the things that people say to me, things I say to people, the actions I take, that the Spirit of God has to control me if my life is going to glorify God. Notice this. Then David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? That's what David did. And the Lord said to David, isn't that beautiful? And if the Lord don't say it to you, don't do it. If the Lord don't say it, Luton Neely, don't do it. And the Lord said to David, go, attack the Philistines and save Keilah. Because if you don't attack the Philistines, then Keilah is not going to be saved. Now, the Holy Spirit is not specifically mentioned in this verse. It's very obvious that the Lord is communicating with David. And as the Spirit of God is communicating with David, the Lord said, just like it is in the New Testament, so in the Old Testament times, God spoke by his Spirit. And the evidence that David was being controlled by the Spirit is seen, number one, in his prayerfulness to seek the will of God. His prayerfulness to seek the will of God. I must be concerned that I ask God what his will is for my life. What his will is in every situation in life. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. that encourages me. It blesses me when I read that there's a man that the Word of God says is after God's own heart. And David inquires of the Lord. What he was doing was, he was saying, God, I don't know the way to go. I don't know what to do. But God, I need direction. There are issues that are bigger than me. The circumstances have raised those issues. Look at the circumstances. Lord, you know them better than me. I've got a discouraged bunch of men. They're a small group. We're exiles. And Lord, they're the people of God down there, and they are going to be overwhelmed, and they're going to be destroyed by the Philistines. I need your direction. You know, there are times when we assume that God approves everything that we do or say. And I'm guilty of that without stopping to think. I can't assume on God. I can't assume that it's okay because I'm a Christian and because I paid my dues, because I've been baptized, because I belong to a certain evangelical church, that I can just do it and it's okay with God. I can't assume on God. Dr. George Washington Carver was a man of prayer. He was a very simple man. But he was concerned about answers to his prayer. Somebody said to him one time, he said, have you ever found prayer to be that which God gives you direction through? In other words, there are discoveries that you seek. And there are some times when maybe you don't get the answers that you want. And what do you do? He said this, it goes without saying, you see, there is no need for anyone to be without direction or for anyone to wonder amid the perplexities and complexities of this life. He said, we are plainly told, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I trust, beloved, that I don't forget those words. In all thy ways, in all thy ways. And I need to keep saying that, in all thy ways. Acknowledge him. Turn to him. David, are you going to acknowledge God now? Or are you going ahead because of the circumstances? And David says, prayerfully, I'm going to seek to know the will of God for my life. And secondly, David's direction and the fact that he was controlled by the Spirit of God is seen not only in his prayerfulness to seek the will of God, but his preparedness to serve the will of God. His preparedness to seek it is one thing, and God says, here it is. But am I prepared? Am I prepared to serve God? Have I counted the cost? Have I said, God, when you open the door, when you show me the way? And here's what David said in verse 2. Shall I go and attack these Philistines? He didn't dictate to God. He didn't come to God and say, now, God, tell me the right thing. You know what I want to do, God? These men are wicked down there. I want to destroy them. He said, shall I go and attack these Philistines? He's talking to God. He realizes that God is in control. He realizes that he has to get his direction from God. And David didn't indicate to God that he wanted to go, you know. He didn't say, nowhere do I see that. He said, shall I go? He didn't say, well, your servant is ready to go. He didn't say that at all. David was a man of war. You must know that as you follow David's life. David was just as happy in the battle as he was in the living room. David was prepared. And what David was saying is this. David said, God, whatever your decision is, I'm prepared to abide by that. But I want you to know that I'm prepared. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. George Mueller was once asked how he ascertained the will of God. Among other things, he said, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. David was ready to do the Lord's will. And that is what I must get into my head and into my the spiritual part of my being, realizing that there is the old man there who wants to prevent me from doing that. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go to Keilah. I will deliver. I will deliver." And so, lastly, it's the witness of the confirming scriptures. If I want to know the will of God, I must be concerned about the direction that comes from the Spirit of God who controls me. That the Spirit of God does control my life. I've been submitted to the Spirit of God. Circumstances is one thing. I'm going to face circumstances every day. And David inquired the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him, "Arise and go to Keilah." And David was not disappointed. Notice the commanding word. The Lord answered him and said, there'll always be a commanding word from God. God will make it very plain what I am to do. Arise, go down to Keilah. Arise, go down to Keilah. Is it God, through his Son Jesus Christ, who came into the world and died on a cross, has overcome him who has the power of death and of Hades? But you and I are left here in this world, beloved, and we're left here in this world that we might be examples of the grace of God to men and women around us. And the battles that we face are not battles that with weapons, guns and swords. And you remember how the Lord, when he was going to the cross, he said, "Put up your sword. Put up your sword." That's not how you win these spiritual wars. But the spiritual wars are affecting us as individuals. There are things that I must do. This is affecting David. This is David, but it's going to affect a lot of other people. It's going to determine whether or not we read these words. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And that's what's important. God has left me here to save the inhabitants of Keilah. Is going to bring glory to God. But I must be saved myself first. I must be saved myself first. Saved when I knelt at the old rugged cross. That's my sin of the past. But there's a being saved every day from myself, from me, from this body of death, from this flesh, that which hinders me from doing the will of God, from glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's the commanding word. And that commanding word, beloved, comes through the word of God. I want to say this very, very clearly before I stop, that the commanding word I must get from the word of God. You're doing that this morning. We're opening the word of God. I'm getting a double dose. I was in it, well, early in the week, but I was in it again this morning going over this scriptures, and the Lord was speaking in my heart, and he's speaking to me again now as we meditate these scriptures. There's a commanding word. There's a commanding word that's come from these scriptures, and unless I am blind, unless I don't want to see it, unless I'm saying, "Lord, I don't want to know your will," it's right here. The commanding word is here. He's telling me, and he's telling all of us what we should do. And it happens as we meditate upon God's word. What priority do I place on the word of God? What priority? I thought about this morning. What priority, Ludi, do you place on the word of God? And that's determined by how much time you spend in this book, meditating upon this book, thinking upon this book. Because this book, the Spirit of God will reveal God's mind to me. The commanding word will come to me as God's Spirit reveals it through his word. God speaks through his word. And so my daily devotion with him, I'll receive my biblical instructions. Isn't that how that believers are built up through biblical instruction, which comes from the Word of God. And so it's a commanding word that comes. And the Lord answered him and said, arise and go. And then there's the confirming word. I will deliver. David, you need it said to you again, don't you? Because those fellows down, they've been trying to discourage you. And you need to encourage them, David. And you need to know what the mind of God is. And whenever you're seeking the mind of God, the devil is always going to use something or somebody or some circumstance to try and block that out. Don't be discouraged by them. David, remember, they haven't come along as far as you've come. They're discouraged because they're a minority. And if you look at it, the church is a minority in this world. But that isn't anything for us to be discouraged against. Because you remember the children of Israel were told to go in and possess the land. And remember the guys who went in to get the report. And the majority came back and said, we can't do it. Giants in the land. But there was a minority and they were right. And let me tell you, the minority may not always be right, but let me tell you, on God's side, the minority is always right, and the minority can always be guaranteed victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the confirming word. I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. Beloved, let me tell you, we're on the side that has already won. The side that has already won. And that's to encourage your heart this morning. And we'll stop right there. There were some other signs that I was going to give you, but our time is gone. It flies sometimes. I look up and it's 1 minute left, and then I look up and it's 5 minutes beyond. You'll forgive me for that. Father, we give you thanks for your word this morning. We thank you for your will. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your way. Lord, we know that there is the perfect will of God, and we want to be in the center of that will, knowing, Father, what pleases you and what brings glory and honor to your great name. Help us to appreciate this good word of God and help us, Father, to be the witness that you want us to be in this world. In Jesus' name we pray.